Welcome to another Macquarie Life Church podcast. We hope you enjoy this message.
I've been asked to share on practices of prayer, so I'll relate everything to prayer, but lots of bits and news first that all relate to prayer. So Matt and Beck Wiley ring us during the week just before the Youth Alive rally. They're expecting 3,000 kids to go. A vomiting bug's just hit our whole family, but we have to get down there. We're in the car heading to Sydney with a bucket. Pray. 600 salvations that night. 30 kids from here went down, 5 salvations. Brittany O'Brien, our youth pastor, is one of the really highly regarded young youth pastors in the state and just does a fantastic job. And Dissa is employed by Youth Alive to help put those rallies on and does a fantastic job as well. I've been out west this week while Roz has been running retreats for state women's, ducking back for board meetings and heading back to Sydney to preach at a big cancer outreach at Penrith. So I saw her once this week for about an hour as we crossed over. It's nice being retired. It's not much to do. What? and what else has been happening? Oh, a couple of photos. This is part of just the best wine to last. That's Elle's boyfriend from Brazil, Kennedy. She goes to Brazil after Christmas to meet his parents. I read up what it's like travelling in Brazil. I don't know if I'm game to tell her or not how dangerous it is. And that's two new grandkids that have, you know, arrived in the last few weeks. Best wine to last, eh? It doesn't mean they're better than your kids. But, you know, as our bodies deteriorate, good things keep coming into our lives. It's amazing. It's fantastic. And we love it. Now, prayer. So I go out to Narrabri and Quirindi and I visit a few pastors on the way, and the church gives me a small allowance. I stay with the pastors in their homes, so it's just, you know, a little bit of money for meals and petrol. But I get to ask them their story, and I always think it'll be a real pleasant country experience with the cows grazing. The stories are terrifying. I had a cuppa with one pastor and his wife. I took them out for a meal, and he was telling me that when he was 6, they lived on a 3,000 acre farm. And like, some farms are great, but there's a lot of isolation in distant farms, and it's particularly hard on the wife and the kids. So his mum became an alcoholic, and he ended up becoming an alcoholic. But she decided to leave the husband, and he's 6, and she's walking down the driveway with the bags. He gets his shotgun and says, "Unless you come back, I'm going to shoot you." He races out, grabs his dad's leg, and is begging him not to shoot his mum. The husband fires over her head, so he doesn't shoot her, but he fires over her head to scare her. But he looks down and he assumes that his mother's dead now. That only lasted for 2 minutes, but I said to him, "I think you've still got trauma for that. Have you ever seen a counsellor about this?" "No, no, he didn't kill her." I said, "Yeah, but for 2 minutes, you thought he had." And I really want to strongly recommend you to sit down with a counsellor and just work through some of that. He's got an amazing testimony of overcoming alcoholism and doing amazing things, and they're a beautiful couple. But I sit there on verandas, you know, and in cafes and restaurants right out west hearing these stories, and I'm just like, whoa. And then they sort of often say, "Can you pray for us?" And I haven't got Jen's level of intercession. But I pray, and I know how to pray protection and favour, but what I've learnt to do is asked, "Is there something in particular you would like me to pray for?" Because that always takes it a bit deeper. So I've just learnt to ask that question. But I thought, wow, prayer's important. From the Youth Alive rally, you know, you think it's all glory, but, mate, it's really hard work. And you come under attack because you're doing such a big, fruitful thing. And sitting with pastors on the verandas, the prayer's so important. When I think your guys' intercession together went up a level after Dave had that death experience where he actually died and was brought back to life. And they are so powerful in prayer, and they pray for me. And I remember once I get a text from Dave. It's on a Sunday morning. "Anything you want me to pray for today?" So I send back a text. "Yeah, I've got a headache and I have to preach in an hour. Can you pray for that?" So that's my request. And I just felt this time to go, "Would you like me to pray something for you?" He goes, "That'd be great," because in 2 hours, because he's involved in world immunisation at the time, he says, "I meet the Swiss Prime Minister to ask for $30 million to go towards immunisation in such an area." It's like I've got my broken fingernail. and he's got this. But isn't kingdom amazing the way if God gives you a job to do bigger than what you can handle, what does he do? He puts the people around you that can help carry you through that thing. So I love that testimony. I tell it a lot to people individually, Dave, because you've just been amazing for me like that and done so much great intercession. I loved at the Mayor's Prayer Breakfast. Our church was really honoured last year for Macquarie Care, and they gave us a gift towards Macquarie Care, and Danny White had shared what we did with it. It was so powerful. And then Mindy had to share something too, and just was, I don't know, it was just, they were prayed up and they were really fruitful on the night. And there was such a unity in the room. It was incredible. And I've written this: broken people pray better, not worse. When you're desperate for God, pride goes away and you just have these breakthroughs. My biggest shock ever in prayer was going from being a youth pastor to becoming a senior pastor, where prayer was just like this fun thing I did that I really enjoyed, to, oh my God, there's all this weight, there's all this stuff now that can go wrong, there's all this responsibility, and having to pray for stuff that didn't just involve me, it covered a lot of people. But I just realised the other day, the fruit of that, what's been good is, since I retired, that's where my power zone is now. I don't have the power in the church, not that I'm after power, but you know what I mean, we all want to have a significance that makes a difference. I think that's what power is really. So I find that God's given me this place. My intercession's definitely gone up a level. I'm just learning at the moment in intercession, it's not just praying big stuff and going on the attack. It's actually taking yourself down a few levels and being totally available. And sometimes he shows you what to pray. Like this. So watch this. So, you know, I have my normal prayer time at home because I'm preaching, but I always stop on the lake on the way and go through a message and ask God to bless it. So I'm at the lake, and I'm just learning to go because I always forget to ask him, is there something you want to say to me? And like, you know, because I read the scriptures and I pray the prayers and I do the intercession and I ask for the blessing, and then I forget to say, oh, and by the way, is there something you'd like to say and ask of me? Anyway, I'm on the lake this morning and I do that. I say, anything you want to tell me, Lord? And he goes, yeah. Sort your newspaper out, because I just bought the newspaper on the way in, and I'll speak to you while you're sorting the newspaper out. And it's one of those things you think, it doesn't sound like God. Like, I'm not sure, you know, if it's the enemy or God sometimes. So I sort the newspaper, just in case it is God. And on the, so you know how you take the racing section out and all the crappy advertising? So I take those out and I throw them on the floor, and then I fold the paper nicely, ready to read when I get home. But I notice, as I've taken out, in the middle of the paper is that. A church in the middle of Gaza, meeting on a Sunday and praying. Anyway, I'm holding it, and I thought, I'll have to show that to the church. But then I go, this is how dumb I am. And then I go, by the way, God, you haven't said anything yet or told me. It's like, I think he's like, oi, have a look what's in your hand. Oh, okay, yes, I get it, you did speak. But I was just really touched by that. So keep praying. I think the church sent money to a missionary in Israel this week who helps both sides, and Ros and I are going to send some money to him personally, because we just find, this is just us, with missionaries, it's really nice sometimes just to give to their own family, because they often go without so they can help others, and it's really nice sometimes just to put something into their own family. But anyway, I haven't read that yet. It's just, I was really moved by it, seeing them, what are they doing? And what does the paper say? Praying. When the rubbish hits the fan, that's your response. You just go to prayer, don't you? Okay, main thing that I want to say for the whole morning. The foundation to praying with a right spirit is the belief that I'm loved by God. That's just where you start. And Charles Spurgeon said this in a little devotional I read. It was so good. It's out at 1 Samuel. It says, the Lord will not forsake his people. So he says this: God's choice of his people is the reason for his abiding by them and not forsaking them. He chose them for his love, and he loves them for his choice. It would dishonour his great name for him to forsake them, since it would either show that he made an error in his choice or that he was fickle in his love. Wow. Our Lord Jesus is no changeable lover. Having loved his own, he loves them till the very end. Isn't that beautiful? Like, that's so reassuring. So I wanted to reassure you that. So I find this in prayer. I'm not praying because God's far away and I'm trying to get to him. I'm praying because he's near. And when I set myself to pray, he's right there. So I think for me, I don't know about you when you pray, but for me, I feel like the thing that would sum up what I'm doing when I'm praying each morning is I'm recalibrating my life to line up with him and his word. And there's always a small shift and adjustment needed because I'm of flesh and I live on the earth and the earth's really screwed up. Just watch the news and you'll get a bit, yeah, take that person out, God. Shouldn't you be killing those? Like, you know, and all of a sudden I'm right out of where scripture's telling me I should be. So when I read the scripture, it pulls me back into line. Faith and complaining can't live together. You either have gratitude, which leads to faith and well-being, or you have unbelief, which leads to complaining. Interesting. That's why I love the scripture about Elijah and Gehazi, where the enemy surrounds them and Gehazi, the servant, is freaked out because the enemy's doing so much activity. He just has an anxiety attack and he can't cope. So he speaks to Elijah like a dad and he says, Father, what'll I do? You know, we're surrounded. And Elijah doesn't even look at him. He just goes, open his eyes, Lord. And his eyes are open and he looks. And surrounding on the heels of the armies of God, far outnumbering the enemy. It's like that scripture says, greater is he that is within you than he that is in the world. And that's what's so good about being reminded of that when we read the word and we read scripture. Jesus praying two main sections in the Gospels, I can say the New Testament, in the Gospels are, one's Matthew 6. Well, you know how he prays the Our Father. But before he prays the Our Father, I'll just read what it says. This is my strength in prayer because there's different types of prayer. Dave and Jen have a real strength in intercession. Other people are really good at corporate prayer. That's my weakest area. I can't bear listening to other people's prayers because it distracts me from praying my own prayer. So don't invite me to your prayer meeting. I'm counterproductive. You'll feel the Holy Spirit leave the room until you ask me to leave. But this one I can do. But when you pray, go into your room, close the door and pray to your Father who is unseen. Then your Father who sees what he's done in secret will reward you. And when you pray, do not keep on babbling like pagans. Because in the church I grew up in, you were told to repeat stuff a lot of times. Do not keep babbling like pagans, for they think they will be heard because of their many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need even before you ask. Anyway, so that was one thing. And John 17's got a really long section of Jesus praying. And if you want to see some different things that he prays, it's just the whole chapter is just Jesus praying. I was going to read to you a whole lot of isolated verses, but look, just write it down and have a read at home because you'll see amazing things that he's praised and it shows you what's important to him. And so then I need to line myself up a bit out of what's important to me to what's important to God. Anyway, so that's Jesus praying. Where are we up to? So he entrusts us with his name, with his word, that's the sword, with his blood, our faith, which is a shield, the gospel that we have to share with people, which is like shoes, truth that protects us, that's a buckle to gird our loins, the salvation, which is like a helmet, a breastplate of righteousness, which is like his declaration over you. So he gives you a lot. There's a lot of stuff to pray with. Interestingly enough, when I was first given this topic, I went to Hope You See to hear my daughter preach, and blow me down, she was preaching on prayer. She said a couple of interesting things. Prayer creates tracks on which the Spirit of God moves for you. There's just a couple of scriptures on it. Luke 11, everyone who asks receives. You might not get the exact answer, but you will receive something. For any ask, there's some response from God. That's great. Job 42, God accepted Job's prayer. That means some prayers don't get accepted. You know, like when I read the war news and I'm like, it might be Putin I get really down on because I can see that he's eliminated someone else. And I'm like, take him out, Lord. But all of a sudden, I'm becoming a murderer in my prayer. Not a real smart move, do you know what I mean? And there's scriptures that sort of say, don't do that. You better love, you better intercede. But there's a few scriptures that go, live by the sword, die by the sword. What if I've got a good reason for murdering you? Maybe we should start with you, Mark. So I quickly get out of that zone. So some prayers don't get accepted when they're the wrong ones. Romans 12, be patient in affliction and faithful in prayer. They go together. So when affliction's going on, prayer should be present. 1 Timothy 4, consecrated by the word and prayer. Prayer actually can wash us and we come out of it more pure. I love that. And 1 Peter 3, his ears are attentive to our prayer. So I think that's really good. I'm going to finish. We're going good for time. I just got a really good Joel Osteen story for you. Hey, Joel, it was amazing how you mentioned the war this morning. I had that little article. I thought you were right on the button. And someone else said about prayer, I don't know if it was Jordan or Dave and Jen, but it was about how sometimes the answers are different or they're on their way or what he does. But listen to this story by Joel Osteen. This should really help you believe when it's hard to believe. He goes, I saw a report in the news about a mother who was driving in the car with her two small children over a very high bridge. An 18-wheeler lost control of his truck and started a chain reaction, slamming into cars. This lady's car was pushed through the guardrail halfway off the bridge. It was now dangling on the edge, rocking back and forth. When police arrived, they tried to rescue them by cutting through the back of the car, but it was too dangerous. For about 10 minutes, they were trying to do that, but they had to stop. Every time the wind blew, it looked as though the car was going to fall. The officers knew they didn't have long, but they didn't know what to do. Just then, a man in a Navy uniform, so not, it doesn't mean a blue uniform, it means a Defence Force uniform, right? came walking up. He said, I'm the head of a Navy engineering team, and we have a one-of-a-kind forklift that can extend out, tilt, rotate in any direction and lift the weight of this car. The officer said, how quickly can you get it here? While they were talking, it pulled up. The forklift would be able to reach out, pick up the car and save the lives. After they rescued the people safely, the Navy engineer told the police officer, now watch this, this is like your answers to prayer, that earlier that day, they had been delayed for 3 hours. They should have already been to their destination, but something caused them to be late. It just so happened that they were coming by when all this took place. What are the chances of that one-of-a-piece kind of equipment being there at the right time almost instantly? It was one of those blessings that only God can set up. He knows what you need, when you need it, and how to get it to you. The problem you're concerned about, God has the answer already on the way. Yeah, really encouraging to our faith. How will we finish off? Well, I was just thinking, I'd read a thing by a lady, she'd be pretty old now, Stormy O'Marsh, and when I first got saved, Michael and Stormy O'Marsh were big in America, but she said how all these years she's had a praying husband, you know, when she's been through cancer, she's done all this, and she just flourishes still in helping people, and I just started thinking about women I know that flourish and part of the reason is probably because their husbands are praying for them, not putting them down, not telling them to submit, but actually praying blessing and protection onto their lives. And I've got a whole list of names. I feel led not to read them out, but it just stood out to me and I thought, gee, there's some really good praying husbands. But I also thought, I was brought up on, you know, the grandmothers of the intercessors. But it changed my belief when David became an intercessor for me. And it's helped me be open to intercession now that I'm older and I have time. And God seems to be taking me on a journey with it when I'm gradually learning more about it. And I thought, it's not just for the grandmothers, it's for men too. We've all been sustained by other people in prayer. Maybe now it's our turn to be the sustainer. One of the things about praying in tongues is it's a good gift, because in prayer, when you don't know what to pray, you can pray in tongues until you feel the peace come, and then you know that you've prayed something through. Was I supposed to mention something about fasting? Okay. I don't fast anymore, but I used to. When I was a senior pastor, 1 or 2 meals per week, 1 to 3 days per term, trying to do water only. I'd never be sure how long I'd last between the 1 and 3 days, but I never felt condemned when I broke the fast. I just found fasting wasn't earning stuff from God or trying to change his mind because he's cranky. It was slowing me down. It was teaching me to say no to myself. I'm hopeless at fasting. I'd make my mind up to do a fast. I'd see an ice cream ad on the TV. They go, all the ice creams at Coles this week are half price. And I'd think, where's the luck? But, so there's no condemnation in not pulling off, but having a go is good. And because as soon as you decide I'm going to give that meal a miss, your hunger just goes, hey, wait a minute, I'm hungry. So what happens is you're saying no to yourself a real lot the first day, a few times the second day, and by the third day you just seem to get into this zone. But anyway, Stella and May has been over here from Malaysia, staying with Dan and Liz, and she was at our place for tea last night. They're pastors in a tough country to share the gospel in, because they could be put in jail at any moment for sharing the gospel. They do 1 40-day fast a year. But their way of doing that, they just eat at night and don't eat during the day. So, you know, it doesn't have to be water only. You figure out what you can do. You know, that needs a bit of grace to pull it off, but you find your way of doing that, and that can help you make ground sometimes. I just want to finish with this. The musos can come up. I've started doing this more since I retired. Because I have all this freedom, right? And when you have a lot of freedom, it's really easy to go off track. And I don't want to. So I want to start the day right. So when I wake up, before I get out of bed, I started praying the Our Father. But what was happening was, sometimes I'd get through it, but mainly I wouldn't. I'd pray Our Father and talk to God as a father and either fall back to sleep because I felt so peaceful, or just really enjoyed it. Because I found as soon as I got into, you know, forgive those who forgive us, I'd be battling in my mind with... So guess what I do now? I just pray the words every morning when I wake up, Our Father, and say a few things to him. And it's working really well. I don't know if it's even right. I'm leaving out 90% of the prayer. But the first two words just really, really work for me and sort of get me lined up. And I don't know, I just get out of bed in the right way and move on. So if the musos can just play, I just want you to shut your eyes. I'm going to just pray Our Father how I feel led, not for too long. But I want you to shut your eyes and maybe you just pray your prayer. Ignore me if you can. But if you don't know how to pray, you can agree with me or tune in and just do it however you like. So you've just woken up. You don't think where you're at. You just go, Our Father, my dad. In heaven, you're attentive to me. You're all loving. You're all powerful. You're all knowing. I just commit my day to you. I commit my family to you. I commit my church to you. I have this fear that I'm worried about or this anxiety, so I just give it to you now and ask you to take care of that. Just as I lie here now in stillness, could you refocus my mind onto the first thing for me today? Thank you, God. Thank you, God. It's so nice to be with you and relaxed and together. I'm yours and you're mine. Thank you. And you know what he usually says? Go and feed the chooks. Because I love that. He doesn't say, send the money to that missionary. He'll tell me that later. But he'll like, feed the chooks. Because guess what? That's good for my soul. And he loves my soul. I like it that he knows me that well. Thanks, buddy.
Thank you for listening. We hope you have enjoyed this message. For more information, please visit macquarielifechurch.com.au.